that.
Okay. My husband loves Britney Spaniels. We have had 7 of them over our 30-year marriage. They're loyal, they're super soft, they're loving. And we raise them to be just like our 4 sons. You open up the back door, then they take off. And then 1 to 9 hours later, actually, if I remember that they're out and I need to call them in, I just whistle like, and then they come back 1 to 9 hours later. And if they're covered in mud, that is okay. One day, Marcos, our neighbor's gone for a run, and when you open our back door, it's paradise. It's the lake, it's open field, it's sage, it's mountain, it's perfect. And so the dog's out for a run, Louie, and he catches up with Margo. Margo's running about 4 miles, and on the way back from her run, she came up from the lake, and she's on the trail, single track, coming back. And Louie ran in front of her and starts barking aggressively, assertively, like telling her, "Go! You gotta go back, you gotta go back." So she told me this story. I wasn't there. She goes back and she said she ran almost a mile back, and Louie is constantly like, "Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, we gotta go back." They get back and there's this embankment and there's an inlet into the water, and they're in this bog, the kind that like your boots literally suck in and you lose them in there. Her dog was buried to its neck in the bog, and Louie goes into the bog and goes behind Sierra and pushes, completely submerged, and pushes Sierra out of the bog. Yeah. Louie's an amazing Britney. So, a little fast forward, it's October 23rd, it's 2018. I'm in my classroom working, and I get a phone call from our son's doctor. And so we believed our kids are very healthy, very smart, very strong, good looking, all these things. And so we get a call from the doctor. The doctor said, "Your son needs to get to the emergency room. We can't reach him. He needs to get to the emergency room now." And I'm like, what the fuck? How is this? He's going to have a stroke. Like, how do you, what? Whatever. And he's having kidney failure. So I crumble. Guts go inside out. I crawl to the front office where my 22-year friend of 22 years calls my tribe of family, and they make hotel reservations, phone calls, pack up my classroom, get my husband and I flights to England. Because my son is a diehard Eagles fan, and they were playing at Wembley Stadium. So he went to England. So we go to England. And when we arrive in England, we don't go to Wembley Stadium. We go to Royal Berkshire Hospital, built in 1839 to the battle ward, where my son, my 28-year-old son, is now on dialysis. That means that there's a machine keeping him alive. It's hemodialysis, so he's tubes all over him. I have to tell you this 7-minute story, so I'm cutting all that out, and I'm going fast forward 469 days. To the day of the kidney transplant. His younger son, no, my younger son, our younger son, Dylan, I lent my brother my kidney. I'm lending Devin my kidney. 5 a.m., we all get to the hospital. The healthiest person in the world walks into the hospital, and he's gonna come out unable to move. We go in at 5 a.m. At 12 o'clock, they have surgery. At 12:30, Dylan has a 14-inch incision. They take his kidney out. They put it on a pink tray. They zip him up. 2 hours later, he's in recovery. Beautiful, perfect surgery. This kid is the perfect health. Same surgeon opens up Dylan. No, Devin. That's Dylan. Opens up Devin, and Devin's is right, but they put Dylan's kidney in it, and it's taking double the time. They said the whole thing would be like 4 hours. So we've been there since 5 in the morning, and my husband Mike and I are on a rotation rotation, going in, going out, checking each kid. So Devin's in surgery for a very, 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 very too long of a time. My life is inside out. Everyone that's part of this is inside out. Dylan goes into recovery. He's up in the hospital bed healing. He's great. We're waiting for Devin to get out of surgery. Devin finally gets out of surgery. It's 4 hours because his veins were very small. He gets into ICU where he has to stay until everything is stabilized. Dylan was in ICU for 20 minutes and then brought up to the room. Devin is not coming out. Devin's not coming out of the recovery. And so Mike and I are going back and forth, and I did 20,000 steps that day inside a hospital. Always going up, and Dylan saying, "Is my kidney all right?" It's going to be fine. It's not yet, not yet, not yet. It was like unbearable. So finally, holy shit, this Rastafarian woman comes in. She's a nurse. They're doing exchange of who's on care, and this Rasta woman walks up to Devin and said, "What's your pain?" And he says, "Bad." And she said, "No, 0 to 10, what's the pain?" He says, 8, 9. So she goes back, and the whispering ensues. They're calling the doctor. She says, "He needs more pain med to get his vitals back down. That's this problem." Needless to say, they do that. I'm down there, and I'm like 30 minutes more. All the beeping and the alarms are all calming down. I go running upstairs. I'm like, he's gonna live. I get upstairs, and Mike is standing there, and Dylan is on the phone crying. And I'm like, no, your brother's gonna live, your kidney's gonna make it. He says, no, Louie died. Louie got hit by a car. He got out of the yard, and he got hit by a car. So Devin comes out. We couldn't tell him, but later we found that Devin believed that Louie and Devin had to go. So Louis stepped up, that was the kidney journey. There was one other thing I was going to say about the ending there, but I forgot. But that was the gist of it. Thank you very much.